Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The etiquettes of reciting the glorious Quran. Number 8, place the Quran in a high place using a pillow, a rahal, etc. It should not be placed on the floor or where people tread with their feet. Place the Quran in a high place using a pillow, a rahal, etc. Or if a person doesn't have any in his hands, but it should not be placed on the floor or where people tread with their feet. May Allah Ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to practice upon them. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli wa nusallim ala rasulihim kareem amma ba'd. Fa'audhu billahi min ash-shaytani ar-Rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, la tadkhulu buyutan ghayra buyutikum hatta tasta'nisu wa tusallimu ala ahliha. Thalikum khayrun lakum la'allakum tadhakkarun. Sadaqallah maulana al-Azim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in this verse of Surah An-Nur, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O believers, do not enter other people's homes until you seek permission and you say salam to the people, to the family there. That is better for you, so that you take heed, so that you remember. Now, in this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving a ruling to do with the seeking permission. It mentions seeking permission and salam, but the important point here is seeking permission before you enter home. And actually, I've mentioned one verse, but ahead in a number of verses, Allah Ta'ala goes into more detail. That if it's, for example, a public building, then and you need to go in, then you don't need permission. This type of building, you need permission. Now, the Quran, you know, these fiqhi rulings. Rulings about matters, is this permissible, is it not permissible? The Quran, this is not really the main subject matter of the Quran. The main subject matter of the Quran is advice, guidance, encouragement, Jannah, Jahannam, Aqaid. In fact, the ulama have counted and they have said that out of the 6,000 plus verses of the Quran, there's maybe 500 verses connected to rulings. Not even 10%. That means that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does mention a ruling in the Quran, it must be for an important reason. Because usually the rulings are left to be mentioned in the ahadith. But here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions a ruling in the Quran. And it seems to be a trivial ruling. No big deal when you seek permission, when you go to someone else's house and seek permission before you enter. No big deal. And in fact, Allah ta'ala goes on for at least half a page, carrying on. And actually, if you look at Surah An-Nur, in other places there are rulings like this as well, and seemingly trivial ruling. In another place in Surah An-Nur, Allah Ta'ala mentions that children, when they are of this age, then it's fine if they enter these rooms without permission in these times. But after they become baligh, then they need to seek permission before entering the rooms of these people. Very little intricate details. So, to understand the purpose of this, we need to understand why did Allah Ta'ala do this. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentions in a hadith that the reason these rulings of seeking permission, whether it's someone else's room, whether it's someone else's house, have been placed is to protect the eyesight. It's to protect the eyesight. Surah An-Nur begins by discussing zina, the punishment of zina, etc., details, the seriousness of zina. And then he starts mentioning all of these rules. Why? To tell us that the doorway to zina is these eyes. The doorway to zina is these eyes. And it's when a person misuses his eyes, then he doesn't, especially the first time he does it, he doesn't think for a split moment this is something that will lead to zina. But it most definitely can lead to zina, which is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes into so much details that don't even not. You come into a situation where you see a non-mahram, so you have to drop your eyes. The first encouragement and the first command of Sharia is don't put yourself in that position. So if you were to walk into someone's home, your eyes may fall on some non-mahram. So instead, knock first. You walk into someone's private room, your eyes may fall on a non-mahram. So knock first. And in fact, how? Because this is something which has become norm in our society. Now there is no parda in the home. People mix in the home. Even when we have to deal with our Sharia says, even with a necessity, when you have to deal with a non-mahram, then you keep it as much as is necessary. You keep it formal. Unnecessarily, you don't go to a place where there is mixing of men and women. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the marketplace is a place of necessity. Despite that, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it is abghadul biyad, the worst place. Why? One reason is this, that just like men have to go to the marketplace, even when there is parda, sometimes women have to go. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, every place where there is a possibility of your eyes, never mind, you go in there and your eyes, no, there is a possibility of your eyes falling on a non-mahram, Sharia has discouraged going there. Sharia has discouraged going there. And to this detail, just so you understand how important this was in the time of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, I don't want to go into detail, but there is a lengthy incident about Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anhu at the beginning of Surah An-Nur, a lengthy incident. And anyway, what happened was they were in a journey. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was on a journey with Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha and some other Sahaba as well. So in those times, for maximum parada, the women would basically travel in some type of box on top of some type of carriage on top of a camel. And they would, even when they needed to stop, every so often the group would stop, you know, toilet break, resting, etc. So even the woman, she would slip out for necessity and slip back in a way that no one knew. So how particular were they about parda and about making sure their eyes don't even unnecessarily fall on a mahram woman? What happened in that incident was that Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha, she went and she hadn't come back yet. She got delayed because she lost something. She was quite thin and skinny because there wasn't much food, so she wasn't very heavy. So the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they carried on the journey and they put the carriage back on the camel. And no one knew that Aisha radiallahu anhum hadn't even returned. That happened. One Sahabi, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would also always give one Sahabi the job of going back and making sure nothing's been left behind. So the group would move on. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would tell one Sahabi, or maybe more than one, that go and check, you know, we haven't left anything behind, anything valuable. One Sahabi, he went back with this intention. And when he went back, at a distance, he saw Aisha radiallahu anha. He saw Aisha radiallahu anha. And he himself narrates and he says that how did I recognize it was Aisha radiallahu anha? He says that before Allah Ta'ala revealed the ruling of Parada, I had seen Aisha radiallahu anha. And that's why I recognize her right now. Otherwise, after the ruling of Parada was revealed, Aisha radiallahu anha was the most important female alim in the time of the Sahaba as well. Often it would happen that they would have to go ask her a question about something, and it was something about Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's personal life, some ruling in the home. So she would interact with the Sahaba. Despite that, how strong was the parda that this Sahabi says that the only reason I recognized Aisha radiallahu anha was that the ruling of parda hadn't been revealed at the beginning. It had been revealed midway through Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life. And before that I saw Aisha. After that I didn't even see her face. I never saw her face. And we are talking about that era where people, to go and relieve themselves, they had to get out of the home and go to the outskirts of the town, women included. Lowered in the gaze to one side. Our first issue is we don't make a point of staying away from those places, adopting those rulings, which will make sure that unnecessarily these eyes don't fall on women. Bring parda into your homes. Encourage people to wear niqab. You yourself, whenever you go somewhere, or you interact with someone, you go on holiday, you go elsewhere. Our Sharia teaches us this. That think about this. Is it a place where I can keep these eyes safe? Where unnecessarily these eyes, as less as possible, they will follow a non-mahram woman. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first to give myself the after the to practice one. Ameen wa khirda wa alhamdulillah. One thing I should mention which came to mind yesterday is that we make dua before the iftar salah, before iftar, before the maghrib adhan. So in light of the ahadith, we understand that one time when dua is accepted is also after the adhan. In fact, some ulama of the opinion that this is the strongest time of acceptance. So we're all in the masjid for the maghrib adhan anyway. After the maghrib adhan, there's a few moments. So just like we make dua before the maghrib adhan, after the maghrib adhan, a person should also make dua. May Allah Ta'ala grant us.